So we're reading from Canto 3, Chapter 32, chapters entitled Entanglement and Fruit of Activities. This is text number 38. Jivasya samsritir bhavir avidya karma nirmitaha yasvangam pravasan atma na vairagatim atmanaha jivasya. Of the living entity, samstriti, courses of material existence, bhavi, many, avidya, in ignorance, karma, by work, nirmitaha, produced, yasu, in which, anga, my dear mother, pravishan, entering, atma, the living entity, na, not, veda, understands, gatim, the movement, atmanaha, of himself. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. There are varieties of material existence for the living entity according to the work he performs in ignorance or forgetfulness of his real identity. My dear mother, if anyone enters into that forgetfulness, he is unable to understand where his movements will end. Please repeat, there are varieties of material existence for the living entity according to the work he performs in ignorance or forgetfulness of his real identity. My dear mother, if anyone enters into that forgetfulness, he is unable to understand where his movements will end. Purport. Once one enters into the continuation of material existence, it is very difficult to get out. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes himself or sends his bona fide representative, or and leaves behind scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, so that the living entity, hovering in the darkness of nescience, may take advantage of the instructions, the saintly persons, and the spiritual master, and thus be freed. Unless the living entity receives the mercy of the saintly persons, the spiritual master, or Krishna, it is not possible for him to get out of the darkness of material existence. By his own endeavor, it is not possible. End of purport. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gina Jina Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swam Padantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, material energy, endlessly mutable or endlessly changeable. The living entity decides to do his business somewhere else. He leaves the spiritual world, comes to the material world, and thinks he can make a profit by that change in what we say consciousness. Material energy, or the material world, the energy that makes up the material world, sometimes is compared to a gigantic, dark, deep, unlimited forest. If you go into the forest and you don't know anything about the forest, or even if you're in the forest, it's a very difficult place. It's dark, there's many paths, much danger in the forest also. cold, excessive cold, excessive heat, wild animals, mosquitoes, so many unexpected things, big holes, wells that are covered up, so many things. And yet, the living entity goes into this, what we say, material energy, trying to make a profit. It's explained in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 14th chapter. It's called the forest of material enjoyment. But what is the enjoyment? Enjoyment in the forest is simply a hard struggle. Therefore, according to how one approaches the material energy, or how one connects with the material energy, one is struggling in a different way. Here, Srila Prabhupada points out that it's darkness. Darkness indicates ignorance. Forgetfulness, ignorance is also mentioned in the translation. That the living entity is in utter forgetfulness of what? Who he is, his real identity. And of course, without even understanding that, there's no question of understanding one's relationship with the Supreme Lord. So, of course, the ignorance begins with the bodily consciousness, or bodily conception of life. Aham mameti. Everything is mine, and I am what? Endless. I am a man, I'm a woman, I am this from this country, from that culture, I am intelligent, old, young, so many things, on and on. You can list it endlessly, what I am. But all these things are external to the living entity's existence. So in this forest of material existence, the living entity tries to find some enjoyment. Because the nature of the living entity is ananda, happiness, pleasure. But it's trying to find pleasure where pleasure doesn't exist. So therefore, in this hard struggle for existence, the living entity is subjected to so many forms of ignorance and illusion that just bewilder their life more and more and create greater and harder struggles. You might say the material energy is categorized in three categories: the mode of ignorance, the mode of passion, and the mode of goodness. Any of these three modes simply are still considered to be an example of one's ignorance, even the mode of goodness. Srila Prabhupada was talking about happiness in this material world. He's describing how there is no happiness in this material world. So one devotee said to Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, what about the mode of goodness? Sometimes we understand that there's happiness there. Prabhupada said, one of the main qualities, is the mode of goodness is knowledge. So knowledge means you understand there's no happiness. That's the understanding of that knowledge. So even in the mode of goodness, there is what we say ignorance. Ignorance of what? One's real identity and one's real activity. Of course, the lower modes of material nature, such as the mode of ignorance, is destructive by nature. It's sinful. It causes the living entity so much unlimited forms of suffering. In the mode of ignorance, there's not even any material happiness, or even any spark of material happiness. One simply performs activities that are self-destructive, physically, spiritually, emotionally, in all aspects. Intoxication, excessive sleep, madness, laziness. In the material world, people also have certain, what we say, categories of activities that are considered to be, what we say, good. But even in the material world, if you're lazy, nobody likes you. It's one of the worst qualities, laziness. It destroys all, it probably said, laziness destroys all of one's good qualities. And one is lazy. And of course, devotees are, when it comes to spiritual life, there's no question of laziness, because laziness you get absolutely nothing from being lazy. Therefore, one has to always be enthusiastic. So the qualities in the moment, not qualities, we can't say these are qualities. We can say they are just characteristics, some symptoms of a person who is in that particular mode. And it causes one unlimited suffering. Somehow, if one comes to the mode of passion, or someone is situated more in the mode of passion than they are in the mode of ignorance. Nowadays, the modes are so mixed, we can't distinguish actually the qualities separately. We have to say mixed modes of material nature. Because sometimes they say now the mode of goodness is conspicuous by its absence. We don't find that so much nowadays. Mostly, it's a hard struggle to acquire and to gain material things, which is the mode of passion. The mode of passion is as the mode of ignorance is destructive, the mode of passion is selfish. It's selfish. It's self-centered. It sees oneself as the object of activities, and the goal of that activity is to satisfy the self. Now, if we want to look for any good qualities in the mode of passion, we can find one. But even that is selfish in its endeavor, and that is creativity. Creativity is somewhat in the mode of passion. Those who are creative by nature and can use good intelligence to bring about what we say material creation, creativities, great technology, great inventions, so many things. And people think this is wonderful, but it's still motivated by self-interest, or even extended self-interest for one's family or for one's country. So these two lower modes simply keep the living entity in great illusion. The mode of goodness, it's a little better, but still one is illusioned by material happiness. And one thinks that one has somehow or else achieved success in life by acquiring material things, by having good qualities, by able to do things that are beneficial on a material level for others, philanthropy and other activities. But still, in that mode will cause one simply to get another birth in the material, a better birth. But what is the use of a better birth? Because a better birth just creates a greater illusion that I'm okay, that's all. Actually, those who are suffering more understand the truth about the material energy, that the material energy is simply suffering. So Prabhupada explains that one, the living entity cannot get out of these three modes by its own endeavor. We see today there's so much attempt by various groups, spiritual and otherwise, to elevate themselves away from the suffering of material existence. And sometimes even to practice spiritual life. But unless it says here that one has to accept mercy coming from higher authority, and Prabhupada gives three categories: the Lord, the spiritual master, and saintly persons. They provide the way out. And Prabhupada says, they leave behind, the Lord comes, or his bona fide representatives come. They leave behind scripture, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. These are the blueprints, the way out of this material struggle. But the application of the principles that govern these great scriptures have to be taught by the spiritual master. There's where the essential principle comes in. One cannot simply read scripture and expect to, what we say, achieve the goal. One has to understand scripture according to those who have realized scripture, and not just simply try to understand it from a limited perspective. One can read scripture and get an understanding, but unless one has an understanding of application, therefore knowledge has to come to the point of realization through application. So we find even in devotional service, although the guru is there, the spiritual master is there, the scriptures are there, still we find sometimes it becomes very difficult, or sometimes very slow in making spiritual progress. Therefore, one has to understand things in relationship to how they apply. There are obstacles. There are difficulties on the path of spiritual life. It is explained that there are 9 stages. The first stage is to take shelter. The second is to associate. And through that association, one gets initiation. Then, Prabhupada said, initiation means beginning. It's not like the end. I got my name, you know, I have a guru, and now I can just take it easy and he does everything. It's like Prabhupada used to say, Krishna was on the chariot, but he told Arjuna, you fight. Without your fighting, although my mercy is available, you have to take advantage of my mercy by making the endeavor. So, in the same way, we have to apply the principles. But there are so many obstacles. The next stage after Bhajana Kriya, after taking initiation, is that one gradually, through the process of devotional service, under careful guidance of the spiritual master, removes the anarthas. These are the obstacles, anarthas. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains what are these anarthas. I'd like to just mention what these anarthas are, because I think sometimes we don't know clearly what are the obstacles or the blocks that make the spiritual, although we're chanting the holy names and though we're associating with devotees and though we're executing the process, still these anarthas remain. There are four categories of four. 16 anarthas explained by the acharyas. The first one is philosophical misconceptions. Not understanding certain spiritual principles that need to be applied correctly in order to get the mercy of the Lord, or to apply them in such a way that one is actually freeing themselves from the anartha. The first is not understanding who you are. As long as the living entity is still under the bodily conception of life, in any aspect, sometimes we say, well, here's a Russian devotee, and here's a Indian devotee, and here's an American devotee, and a devotee is a devotee. Sometimes we might say devotees from Russia or devotees from America. But to give a label to a devotee is actually free from all designations, even the designation of bodily concept that is connected with country. We get so much absorbed in this, I am this from this country, I'm that. I'm Italian, so I like pizza. You know, so many things, you know. So I'm Italian, so I can say that. You can't criticize me on that one. So I have a justification for making that statement. So. But the point is, we get so kind of this idea of bodily concept that comes with what we say nationality. It's also an anartha in the sense that there's still some, what we say, tinge of misidentification. Someone has to be freed at Jiva Surupai Nitya Krishna Das. All living entities are parts and parcels of Krishna. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, when you thus learn the truth, you will know that all living beings are my parts and parcels. They're in me and they're mine. To have that vision or to practice that type of consciousness is the means to get out of this bodily concept of life. When we see the external environment, what do we see? We have to see Shastra Chakshus. We have to see according to scripture, not according to vision. Therefore, one has to see according to the direction given by the Absolute Principle, and not according to one's, what we say, contaminate. How do you purify consciousness? Just like when we take darshan of the deity. Bhakti Siddhanta, one time he was standing in front of the deity, and he had forgotten to bring his glasses, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. So one of his disciples said, Maharaj, should I get your glasses? He said, no. He said, what is this question of seeing? We come before the Lord to let the Lord see us. We have to be in such a consciousness that the Lord actually wants to see us. What can we see? Of course, we can see something. But that is darshan. Darshan is to be in a proper consciousness when we come before the deity, that Lord is pleased by by his devotee. So purification of conscience is not, you'll see the deity when you hear the holy name, the glorifications of the Lord, when you become purified through the process of hearing, then you can see. What is that verse? Premanjrita bhakti vilochanena santasadaiva riddhyesha vilokayanti yam shamasin achinta guna sarupya govindam hari purusham tamaham bhajami. Prabhupada explains that the eyes, they have this mascara, or they say kajal, which beautifies the eyes, and that is love. When love is there, the eyes actually become beautiful. And then one sees according to what is there, or at least to some degree. So in the same way, through the process of hearing and chanting the holy names of the Lord, we purify the conscious. Then, when we go before the Lord, then we can see the Lord. Lord reveals himself according to that consciousness. So, this identity of identifying oneself with the body, this is the first misconception. The second is the misunderstanding of the Supreme Lord's position in relationship to the material energy and in relationship to the living entities. So one has to understand that the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that the Lord is, what we say, he is the controller of the material energy and we are his eternal servant, both in the conditioned stage and in the liberated stage. So that is also a philosophical misconception, not to understand correctly the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The third is not to understand the sadhana that is connected with sadhana bhakti, the preliminary principles of execution of devotional service, and prema bhakti. There are rules and regulations for executing devotional service according to scripture, and one has to apply according to the teachings of the spiritual master and make corrections according to that person's guidance. So one has to follow scripture and learn the process of sadhana bhakti. And sadhana bhakti is vaidhi bhakti, rules and regulations. And from vaidhi bhakti, one develops spontaneous loving devotional service, or raganuga bhakti. But even on the raganuga bhakti, there are principles that one executes according to that type of devotional service, and one follows those principles also. Although it's spontaneous, it is also understood in relationship to the scripture, not otherwise. And the last philosophical misconception is that, and this is where devotees, I find, not everyone, but some, not understanding the relationship between other spiritual philosophies and pure devotional service, such as Mayavad, or other karma mishra gyan, karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti, and actually pure bhakti. And of course, even those philosophies that are with very little bhakti, such as impersonalism and others. So that's an anartha, to not understand the relationship between bhakti and other spiritual teachings. Now one has to clear away these philosophical misconceptions, and then one can move farther. That's four of the anarthas. The second category is anarthas that are caused by pious activities. Attachment to material enjoyment, attachment to mystic power, attachment to endeavors to achieve the heavenly planets, and also attachment to liberation. We might say, well, I'm not attached to any of those things. But really, if we're interested in material and happiness or material arrangements, in order to facilitate, not to facilitate, I need this materially, I have to have this materially. We have to adjudge in relationship to our service. As Prabhupada said, actually, if one wants physical comfort in this material world, it's very difficult to execute bhakti yoga. Because it's not always physically comfortable, especially in certain places. So one has to not be attached to any material arrangement. Prabhupada did say, he made a very strong statement one time, which was quite shocking. He said, many of my disciples will achieve Swargaloka. Many of my disciples will achieve Swargaloka. Now what is Swargaloka? It's the heavenly planets, or the enjoyment of the heavenly planets. Prabodhananda Saraswati just condemns that. He calls it an Akash Pushpayate. That is like Aishishi Radha Manavakida. He condemns that. He says that the desire to enjoy heavenly delights or to elevation to the heavenly planets is like some phantasmagoria. You read about it in the scriptures, but it's just so, what we say, euphoric. One who has been blessed by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya sees that Kaivalya, or liberation, oh, and material happiness are just like grain. It's just poison. It becomes very repugnant. So, Krishna will test, but Maya will test us to see what we want, whether we want Krishna or we want some facility in this material world and still want Krishna consciousness. And that test will come. Prabhupada said, Prabhupada answered a question one time. With Hridayananda Maharaj asked Prabhupada a question. One who takes sannyas, what is the most dangerous thing in taking the sannyas order of life? Prabhupada said, if you're out preaching and you go to someone's house and you see, oh, such a nice house they had, and such a nice wife. Gee, if I didn't take sannyas, I could have had all that. He said, you're not qualified to take sannyas. You know? So if one looks back to material energy in any way and thinking there's something I missed or some happiness there that I'm still looking for. But sometimes what happens was when you engage in devotional service, Krishna supplies things in order to facilitate your service. You get money. Money comes in our society, so much money. But if Prabhupada said, if you don't use every paisa for the service of the Lord, you become implicated in using in material, let me say, reactions. Every paisa should be used for the service of the Lord or whatever is needed to maintain oneself, but not beyond. So, in an individual level, the two biggest stumbling blocks in Krishna consciousness are what? Attachment to the opposite sex and attachment to wealth. And Prabhupada said, those who are stalwart devotees on the path of devotional service, he mentions this in the second chapter of the first canto, verse number 17 in the purport, he explains that this attachment has caused even the greatest of stalwart devotees to slip from the path of devotional service. So, Krishna sends followers, Krishna sends facilities, Krishna sends money, Krishna sends so many things that when they're not seen in relationship to Krishna are actually stumbling blocks or opportunities to slip in one's devotional service. Therefore, one has to be free from any conception that there's any happiness in the material world. Prabhupada explains that this is a prerequisite for making advancement. That is, one is still thinking there's something here for me, either I haven't got it or I haven't done it right, either one, then one cannot really make what we say tangible progress on the path of spiritual life. Krishna says twice, at least I know of two occasions, in Bhagavad Gita, he says, Dukalaya Masasritam, it's miserable in its temper, Anitya Asubham. Same thing he says again in the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So, being here in Mayapur, this is the spiritual world. Just like there's a big sign as you walk near the Samadhi. Prabhupada's statement, Mayapur is the spiritual world. But we have to have spiritual consciousness. We're in the spiritual world, so we should align our consciousness with spiritual in the same way. If we still have material consciousness, if we're still trying to enjoy Krishna, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that people, sometimes they see Krishna as one part of their enjoyment. And, you know, I take up spiritual life and Krishna is, and I also do this, I do that, and this, and I enjoy Krishna, I enjoy this, I enjoy that, or I enjoy this. But then there's a little higher, that Krishna is my only object of enjoyment. So I'm only trying to enjoy Krishna, that's all. It's a little better. At least you'll get faster realizations of your illusion if you have that one. That illusion is another illusion, that we're meant to be enjoyed by Krishna, not that we are supposed to enjoy Krishna. Prabhupada says Krishna consciousness is enjoyable. But to taste the happiness in Krishna consciousness, one has to be freed from the enjoying spirit. The happiness in Krishna consciousness comes by surrender and service. So therefore, when one should execute their devotional service in that mood, not seeing the results of the activities in for one's enjoyment. Because as long as we're still trying to enjoy the results of activities, we become implicated in this consciousness that I am the enjoyer. And you'll get tested. Especially if you do something wonderful or something notable. Somebody says, oh, Prabhu, Mataji, so nice. You're such a nice devotee. You did such nice service. All glories to you. You think, huh? Well, you know, all glories to Prabhupada, yeah. But so I did something. It's like 90% for Prabhupada and 10% for me. It's not complete. Krishna likes to glorify his devotee, but a devotee doesn't like to take credit for anything, no matter what it is. As soon as we take credit, we become implicated. And then Maya just tries seeing that, tempts us more and more with opportunities for material enjoyment. So this is an anartha. Any aspect of material existence, even liberation means what? To be freedom from all material suffering. A devotee considers that the suffering that one encounters in devotional service, Bhakti Vinod Thakur sings one beautiful song, that he ends the song. He says, what is my happiness in Krishna consciousness? He says, my happiness in engaging in devotional service is the sufferings I engage in your service, my Lord. Now that's pretty elevated consciousness. Why? Because I can offer something. I can offer something. So, and not that we try for suffering, but we don't try to avoid it either. And actually, a devotee never suffers anyway. Prabhupada explains the difference between the materialistic suffering and a devotee suffering. The devotee doesn't take suffering seriously. He simply takes it as an opportunity to surrender more. And he just tolerates the difficulties that come with being in the material body and being in the material world. Whereas a non-devotee, when suffering comes, their whole life gets turned upside down. Just like sometimes a person will get a notice, it's time to leave the world. you have terminal cancer or some other disease. You have so much time to live. So the materialist will go through so many mental, why is this happening? The first stage, well, it's not true. It's just not true. There's some mistake. And finally, after exhausting all possibilities to find out it's not true and realizing it is true, then why me? Why me? And then finally, after going through the why me thing, and then, okay, what do I do now? Lost, completely lost. There was a TV show in America many years ago. It was, what was it called? I think it was called Run for Your Life. Yeah, yes, that's the one. Where some powerful guy, he got a notice he had 1 year left to live. Right? It was 1 year, right? So they had a whole TV show for another year. So then the first episode, and he's diving off, jumping off mountains, and he's surrounded by beautiful girls. And then he's going scuba diving with beautiful girls. And then he's riding fast cars with beautiful girls. So every show is like he's doing something really adventurous, exciting, different with beautiful girls. And the show became so successful that he got an extension on his life. So it is the doctors gave him a few more years to live, I guess. So the show continued like that. So, people like that because it keeps them in a greater illusion of the reality of existence. But a devotee, when a devotee is put in a difficult situation, tate nukampa shushamikshamanam bujareva kripa vipakam ridhidva bahubir vidadana maste jivetiyo mukti padesha daivat. This is a mantra. It's just as, well, we might say, it is second to the Hare Krishna mantra. Why? Because in order to execute devotional service, one has to accept difficulties as the mercy of the Lord. And that verse explains that when one accepts difficulties as the mercy of the Lord, what is the result? One prays to the Lord, "My dear Lord, what you gave me is just a small token of what I actually deserve." Prabhupada said in one lecture, he says, you may have been a murderer in a previous life. Somehow or other you come to Krishna consciousness and you cut your finger. That's the reaction. The suffering has been mitigated to, what we say, the least amount. Why? Because the spiritual master and the Lord allows us to engage in devotional service by removing our past. But Prabhupada says, if you commit sinful activities after one accepts initiation, you should know you'll be subjected to the effects of the material energy once again. It's not like, well, I've initiated it, there's no more karma, there's only a little. And if I do something wrong, it's not so bad. It's not so bad, yes, if one slips. But if one has the wrong consciousness, and it's not, what we say, trying to overcome these things, or still has a desire to enjoy, then one again will get the reactions of the material suffering. As a token. It's still token because Krishna takes care of his devotee. But it's a slap. It's a slap. And that slap is good. So therefore, sometimes Krishna arranges for a devotee to undergo some difficulties. We can use many examples and how devotees have accepted difficulties as opportunities to spread Krishna consciousness. So a devotee doesn't look towards the material energy for any type of happiness, whether it's facility, abilities, or whatever comes by the way. It's all given by Krishna in order to use in devotional service. That's all. And if one takes these things as one's success in devotional service, just like money comes, position comes, followers come, or praise comes, and one takes it for themselves, then that can lead to a fall down. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that it's called Ranga Tarangini. To accept the accolades or the benefits that one gets in devotional service as indications of one's advancement. The indication of one's advancement is really purification of the heart. When the heart becomes purified, that is the process. And how does the heart become purified? By hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Therefore, the anarthas, I just mentioned 8 of them. There are 8 more. I don't know how much time we have. But I'll mention that the anarthas that come by way of impious activities, and that is attachments to things unrelated to Krishna consciousness, deceitfulness, envy, fault-finding, and a desire for fame. Desire for prestige, like that. These are considered to be impious. So things that cannot be used in Krishna consciousness, such as sinful activities. Envy. Envy is the cause of the living entity's fall down in the material world. Prabhupada explains that a living entity is envious of Krishna, and now we are envious of each other. Fault finding, deceitfulness, and again, desire for fame. These are the 4 anarthas that come by way of sinful activities. And then the last category of anarthas are the offenses. Offenses to the holy name, offenses to the deity. Now, that doesn't mean I don't worship the deity, I'm not a pujari. Offenses to the deity means that if you're in the temple, there's a certain etiquette that should be followed. And if we don't follow that etiquette in front of the deity, there's also what is called discretion or digression from etiquette, which can lead to offenses. Just like it says, talking loud before the deity, chastising someone before the deity, turning one's back towards the deity, there are offenses. It's all listed in Nectar Devotion. So this is one of the anarthas, to be freed from the offenses. And the last two is the most severe, the offenses to the Vaishnavas and offenses to other living entities. So one has to be carefully avoid these anarthas. And these 16 anarthas cause the 6 enemies, lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, and envy to exist. And these 6 enemies, called the 6 waves, waves are hunger, thirst, death and old age, and lamentation and illusion. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that there is a fast process to crush the anarthas. Of course, we have to deal with each anartha, but there's a very quick way to accelerate that process of removing the anarthas. Harinam Sankirtan. One who absorbs himself in chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. The holy name, and chanting and dancing in association with Vaishnavas helps one to quickly remove these anarthas. So here we are in Mayapur. We're here to actually honor Lord Chaitanya. And the best way to honor Lord Chaitanya we know is to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Simple, sublime, but most powerful. Not just powerful, extreme power of all. Lord Chaitanya's mercy coming in the form of the Harinam Sankirtan. So I'll stop here. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Maharaj, we are advised to chant and be happy. And at the same time, we're advised, especially since we're trying to surrender to Krishna, to give up the enjoying spirit. is there any contradiction there, or is there? Of course, there's no contradiction. But what's the art of chanting and being happy, enjoying serving Krishna, but also giving up in the enjoying spirit?
Chant and be happy. There's a purport to that. That means if you're looking for happiness somewhere else outside of the holy name, it's hard to get the happiness of the holy name. So chant and be happy means to make exclusively your happiness in chanting the holy names or glorifying the Lord like that, in association with Vaishnavas. If we're chanting and we're still somewhat inclined to other types of happiness, it's hard to get that mercy of the holy name, the happiness we're looking for.
If we're happy chanting Hare Krishna, if we're really happy chanting Hare Krishna, then we are engaging in the surrendering process.
Yeah. Prabhupada said devotees should be happy. What is it? This movement is made to make one truly happy. Real happiness is the happiness of the soul's relationship with the Supreme Lord in devotion. What is that? Sarva Sukhenta Bhavanti. That this movement is meant to make the whole world happy through the process of Harinam, chanting the holy names of the Lord, and engaging in devotionals. Why do we do so many other things? It's because we have to purify our consciousness in order to chant the holy names.
I'm asking you the question because I have an ongoing discussion with a godbrother who maintains that even when we're happy in Krishna consciousness, that's Maya. And I say, come on.
Maybe, is it Mahamaya or Yoga Maya?
He said, we shouldn't even be, it's chant and be miserable or something. Yeah. I'm not sure what he said.
I think that was the old days in Krishna consciousness. If you were happy and as happy, it was like, we're not supposed to be happy. Because only Krishna is supposed to be happy, and he's happy when we're just unhappy. Doesn't make sense, does it?
No. Thank you.
Yes, Prabhu.
Can I make a comment?
Sure, please.
Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport that one who is not happy in Krishna consciousness, he's a great rascal. He's a great rascal.
If he's not what?
If he's not happy in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada writes in one purport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Prabhupada said, if you're not happy, you're in Maya.
He actually used the word
rascal. Well, usually if you're in Maya, that's a symptom of rascaldom. Yeah, happiness is actually the nature of devotional service. It's by nature brings happiness. It awakens that happiness. What is that? When we engage in devotional service, we purify the heart. The heart is by nature blissful. So happiness manifests itself automatically through the purification of the heart, through the chanting in the holy names of the Lord, and by engaging in devotional service. So if we're not happy, we should be doing something. When sometimes people say to me, they got so many problems, I say, just chant Hare Krishna. But that doesn't solve my problem. I got this problem. Just try chanting Hare Krishna, see what happens. Prabhupada writes in one place that, we have our temples anywhere in the world. If there's some difficulty, we can sit down anywhere and just chant Hare Krishna. And that's why we come to Mayapur, because it's the concentration of the mercy of the holy name with the association of so many Vaishnava allows that holy name's mercy to be so much readily available. That mercy is so strong here. So. And then when we taste that, when we go back to our respective services wherever we are in the world, we can remember that and bring that that realization in practice again. Realizing what we realize and try to practice that wherever we are. Okay.
You mentioned the 16 anarthas. Does it mean that from anarthanivritti till prema, we're eliminating all those? Or is it from
Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the stage beyond Artha Nivritta is Nishta. That's becoming fixed. And he says before you can go to Nishta, you have to get 3/4 or 75% of your anarthas destroyed. Now, the anarthas for philosophical teachings or the misconceptions are destroyed on Bhajana Kriya. The anarthas for impious and pious activities are destroyed on Ruchi. No one gets the platform of Ruchi. And one, the offenses can carry all the way up to Prema. We hear about Jai and Vijay, how they actually committed an offense even though they were in a spiritual world. Offenses are the hardest ones to get rid of. Because they can, even those who are very high on the spiritual platform, they have to be careful not to commit offenses. It's easy to commit offenses. So, therefore, once 75% of the anarthas are removed, one can move to the stage of steadiness and devotional service. Otherwise, the anarthas cause one to remain unsteady. And without steadiness, there's no what is called real taste. The taste is just too flickering. We can get that taste constantly when we're steady in our spiritual practice like that. But to remain steady, we have to be freed from at least 3/4 of the anarthas. And especially certain anarthas are the anarthas of committing offenses to Vaishnavas, envy, and attachment to things unrelated to devotional service. These are very, let me say, anarthas that can cause great distress in our spiritual life. Envy. Attachment to things unrelated to Krishna consciousness. Like, you know, I like to chew pan, but I still chant Hare Krishna. I remember when we first joined the Hare Krishna movement, we used to offer betel nut to the deities. I guess they do here. In most Western temples, we stopped doing that because the devotees were getting betel nut prasadam. Somehow it wasn't too good. So if one gets attached to that or attached to watching movies or anything that you can't really dovetail in devotional service. Yes?
The offenses, which are like the most
difficult and
like the most important ones to avoid.
What is the most dangerous of all offenses? Yeah, Vaishnava Aparadha. The holy name, the chanting of the holy name can free one from offenses, except the Vaishnava Aparadha. If one is continually subjecting themselves to committing offenses against devotees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu writes, or speaks, he says that, and that person is still chanting the holy name, my holy name destroys that person. So if they're committing offenses against Vaishnava, the holy name drives that person out of Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna doesn't tolerate that. So one has to be most careful in that particular aspect in our interpersonal. Association of devotees is like a double-edged sword. We come to Mayapur for association, and that is the most wonderful thing. But if we're not careful in dealing with Vaishnavas, that same association can cause us to go down if we're not careful. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya taught the principles Trinadapi Sunichena Tayor Iva Suhishnina Amani Nam Amani Dena Kirtaniya Sadarahi. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati says, this is your ornament. I'm sorry, I'm not Bhakti Siddhanta. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, that's your Swarup. When someone asked him, what is our Swarup? He said, he chanted this verse, that is your Swarup. That is your eternal position. But we have to be very careful in association with Vaishnavas. Careful? And what we say, enthusiastic to serve devotees. And if there's some mistake, it's not so serious. But one should be careful. all devotees, not just, well, I honor the so-called senior devotees, but the other devotees are not so important. Krishna doesn't see like that. Everyone is, even if you can commit offenses to the non-devotees also, materialistic persons. Well, we don't hate anyone or take issue with anyone. We take issue with what they do, but we're not with them. A Vaishnav is one who is compassionate to others. So in order to preach, one has to show concern to others. One may not like what they're doing and criticize what they're doing and explain what they're doing is, but for the person, there should not be any, what we say, enmity or envy like that. Otherwise, we can't really preach effectively. You can commit offenses to non-devotees because Krishna is in the heart of every living entity. Krishna is there. When you offend someone, you offend Krishna because he's in the heart. It's like sometimes someone asks Prabhupada, when we pay our obeisances to each other, what does that mean? Prabhupada says, you're actually paying your obeisances. It's written in Srimad Bhagavatam. One is paying their obeisances to Krishna within the heart of that living entity. So you're offering respects to both Krishna and to that other dead soul. When we honor another devotee, we're honoring Krishna also. So if we're very careful in association devotees, then execute the process enthusiastically, but be careful not to. Therefore, Vaishnava etiquette is the ornament of a devotee. How a devotee behaves is how a devotee is seen. If we follow the etiquette, it's less likely we'll commit offenses. What is the etiquette? It's mentioned throughout the scriptures. So, does that help? Just remain enthusiastic. But enthusiasm is intelligence applied to activities. That's enthusiasm, not just activity. If intelligence is there, activity itself is not considered enthusiastic. Even if it looks enthusiastic, if it's not applied in an intelligent way, it may be just an expression of one's false ego. Yes, Vasudev.
Hare Krishna. We hear this occasionally that when we offer obeisances, we offer obeisances, like you just said, primarily to the super soul in that living entity. But it would seem to me that if it was the case, we would offer our obeisances equally to everyone. But the etiquette is that we offer according to one, whether one is initiated or not, whether one is a sannyasi or not. Primarily, it seems that we offer to the living entity rather than the super soul.
If you're following the etiquette according to how to honor, you're not going to go around paying your obeisances to all the non-devotees. Of course you could do that, but it's just not going to be practical to do that. It's not the etiquette also. But you honor a person by behaving in such a way, the proper way. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, somehow I live in this world because I give respects to all. So respecting everyone is a Vaishnava, but how to show the respect may differ from different types of persons. So it's explained in Bhagavatam that for those who are more advanced, we offer obeisances and offer service and hear. For those who are equal, we make friends and share Krishna consciousness together. And for those who are in a lesser position, we show compassion. That means we try to elevate them up in Krishna consciousness. If you follow that etiquette, it says in that same verse, it's in the fourth canto, 8th chapter, 34th verse in Bhagavatam. If you follow that etiquette, you'll never be subjected to the sufferings of material energy. Just by following that etiquette, how to behave with other living entities. So we should practice that. But you are honoring that super soul if you're following the proper etiquette in terms of giving respect. You are, because you're following the Lord's instructions. Okay? Anyone else? Any other questions? Mataji? Yes.
Hare Krishna. The nature of the living entity is to seek pleasure, right? Anandamaya Vyasa. So we're all seeking happiness. But the trouble is obviously that most people are looking for happiness in the wrong place, in material things. So, but as it's our nature to seek pleasure, then is there fault in trying to find happiness in Krishna consciousness?
Is it a fault? If you want to be happy, just serve and surrender, and happiness comes automatically. It's not that you have to look for it. It's in the process itself. But if you're looking for it, you may not find it. It comes by service. It comes by surrender and service. When we execute the process by serving to please, when Krishna is pleased, Prabhupada said, you become pleased. So the instructions of the spiritual master are many, but the instructions, if we follow the instructions accordingly and apply the principles also accordingly, that if I'm looking for something other than to serve, I may not get the benefit of Krishna consciousness. If I'm looking for recognition, or if I'm looking for happiness, or if I'm looking for anything, just try to serve, that's all. Try to serve to please, that's all. Anukulena Krishna Silanam. Serve Krishna's devotees with a desire to please. In that mood, we'll become happy. Because the principle of happiness, aside from the fact that it comes automatically with that mood, is that when someone is pleased by something you do, you also become pleased. That's love. If I do something to make you happy, and I see you become happy by what I do, I become happy. It's natural. But if you please the Lord, automatically He's going to reciprocate. So our tendency is to sometimes to act in that consciousness looking for happiness. But you don't have to look for it. It's there. It'll come just by your service and surrender. So what are the means? Enthusiasm, determination, and patience. If we serve with these principles, be enthusiastic, be determined to continue despite obstacles and reverses, and to be patient. What does it mean to be patient? That means to, when Krishna is ready, He bestows His mercy. If we don't have patience in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada says, a woman, she gets married, now she has a husband, and she thinks, where's the child? Well, you have to take some time before the child appears. So everything's there, but it takes time. So the fruits of our devotional service may not come immediately, the happiness we're looking for. But if we stay with the process, it comes, as long as we're enthusiastic and patient. Does that answer your question? Okay, thank you. Okay, so I think we're out of time. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.